I'm Stephen Webb, host of Touring Heaven, your tour guide and traveling companion, and I'd like to invite you to come with me on a tour of heaven. Tonight, we're going somewhere you may have never imagined, on earth or in heaven. Many people have heard of archangels, but because they're not visible to our physical eyes, you might have set the concept aside as legendary or confined to a particular religious institution. But we're going to be traveling far beyond earthly institutions. You can't see angels or archangels, but you can discern their effect if you take the thought and effort to communicate with them through prayer and then observe. Archangels were made by God before us to serve us as our teachers, protectors, and healers, and they serve by radiating rays of divine energy to us, the exact vibration and amount of energy needed for the moment. The thing to remember is they're very loving and respectful of you and of cosmic law, but they need to be asked, to be invited by you as a partner to intercede, preferably before you're out of your depth and need help. Even if your prayer is a whisper, they hear and answer. Archangels are much older than our souls and very wise and kind. They understand every language, every culture, and there isn't a situation on earth that they haven't seen more times than you can imagine. They understand the true intention behind whatever you say and what you find difficult to say. They read minds, emotions, and hopes without judging you, and have been on your side since God created you and your twin flame. On this tour, we're going to meet two very old friends, Archangels Raphael and Mother Mary. Many people are familiar with the name Mary because she was the mother of Jesus, as you read in the New Testament. And yes, that Mary was an actual archangel who volunteered for several physical embodiments in the Middle East. These two archangels, Raphael and Mother Mary, have known our souls like godparents for eons, since we were beautiful ideas in God's eye. We've come a long way since then, but we still have a way to go. Mother Mary and Archangel Raphael will work with anyone who asks, regardless of their religion. There are no religious institutions in heaven, just universal devotion to the one creator of all of cosmos. I am that I am. So set aside any notion that Mother Mary and Archangel Raphael are only associated with one particular religious tradition. They embrace everyone in the light, under heaven's universal standards of love. You might have heard that the angelic realm has a different divine purpose than the sons and daughters of God. While that's true, both realms work hand in hand as a team, along with the elementals, to do God's creative will on planets like ours throughout cosmos. What's amazing about Mother Mary is that although she originally came from the angelic realm long before us, she's lived in the human realm as a daughter of God on earth in historical times. For example, while Archangel Raphael remained in the high etheric octaves of heaven, Mother Mary was born in our physical world and grew up to become the mother of King David of ancient Israel, an earlier incarnation of the soul of Jesus. As a servant of God, she just happened to be the most perfectly qualified person in heaven. Her mission continued in the physical, and in a subsequent life, she grew up to become the mother of Jesus in Galilee. Having no negative karma after completing her mission as Jesus' mom, she ascended back to heaven at the end of that life. So, Mother Mary is simultaneously an archangel and an ascended master, a graduate and expert in both realms of God's service. Consider those credentials when you look at your own life. We are fortunate to be invited to meet with her. But take the next step personally and think about why an archangel, Jesus' mom, invited you in particular to her heavenly home. The aura or cosmic awareness of Archangel Raphael and Mother Mary can be anywhere and everywhere in the universe instantly. Yet because they know we need their wisdom and healing radiance close to us, they have an etheric retreat on earth, a heavenly sanctuary where we can be comfortable and we can learn from them. Their retreat can't be seen in the physical, but is geographically congruent with the Catholic shrines and buildings in Fatima, northern Portugal. The retreat itself exists in a higher etheric octave, which is where we're going. I see our blue escort angels arriving so quickly. Before we head for Fatima in our etheric bodies, let me say, I think you're going to find it fascinating to be in the presence of the same mom who brought up Jesus, who lived an amazing family life in Roman Palestine and continued her mission later in Egypt, Glastonbury in Britain, and Lourdes and other places in southern France. That's the past. Her interest now is in your well-being and your ongoing mission throughout the next 2,000 years of Aquarius. So let's reach out for the warm hand of our escort angel, and we're up and on our way to visit Mother Mary in etheric Fatima. Whatever continent or nation you're coming from to what we think of in our world as northern Portugal, take a look down from this height as we're circling over the beauty and majesty of God's creation at the heavenly level of earth. In this part of heaven on earth, it's sunrise, as you can see, and the angle of the sun's rays are lighting up the forest below like a mass of candles and making the lakes look like mirrors. If we didn't have to go to a meeting, we could simply hover here and be amazed at the brilliant iridescent colors and the artistry of God's landscaping around the retreat. Remember, in heaven, there's no separate religions or nations, no money, no passports or visas, and only souls of light are allowed here. The angels can see the etheric threefold flame of God's light, your secret credential of God's presence in you, right behind your physical heart. Only those who are of God, who have that threefold flame, can travel to heaven. That's why it's always safe and peaceful here. At a lower altitude, our escort angel is banking around now to show us the scenic panorama, gliding over the forest until we see the activity and shapes of Mother Mary's healing retreat set in beautiful woodlands and gardens. Look down at the fountains and you can see here, there, meditation nooks and fairy bowers in the gardens. Those are for souls who need peace and quiet, rest and healing. Look at the soft glow of heavenly violet radiance around the nooks in the gardens and transparent emerald green canopies for others, depending on their need. As we touch down now on iridescent green lawn, I can see several angelic sisters from the temple heading our way to greet us. We're expected. The air feels crisp, clean, and the sunlight is so bright. But before they get here, I should point out the obvious about angels and archangels. As you've seen with our escort angels, they don't have what biblical artists have depicted as bird wings. Renaissance artists and devoted engravers like Gustave Doré and Louis Tiffany tried their best in their art, but they just didn't have the understanding that angels and archangels have weightless, etheric, fire bodies and auras that expand beyond their bodies and around their beautiful faces. The glow of angelic auras might look like luminous folded wings to those who can't explain auras, but there are definitely no feathers or wings needed for angelic mobility. Their bodies look like ours. They're just made of radiant light and pure beauty as etheric expressions of God. The practical purpose of their bright auras is to store and radiate God's energy to us whenever we ask for it. When we meet Mother Mary and Archangel Raphael, look at the brilliance of the auras around them and forgive the sincere artists of old who could be among us on any of our tours, trying to accurately remember what we're seeing in heaven and then sketch these memories of angels when they wake up in the morning. Just as an aside, while we're also trying to memorize what we're seeing etherically, notice the angel sisters who welcome us in their glowing white and blue robes are very beautiful, but they're also thoughtful. While we're focused on their serene, radiant faces, they are taking in our auras, and we shouldn't be surprised when they bow to us. They're not bowing to the human personality we are in our waking world, but to the reality they're seeing in our divine origin. They see us as brothers and sisters of the ascended masters, gradually becoming Christed ones, mirrors of God's expression even before we actually win our ascension. This, in turn, makes us thoughtful, wondering what we're going to look like after we graduate from our world. Hopefully, we'll look more like them than we do now. As these thoughts come to mind, Mother Mary is smiling right in front of us in the great doorway to the retreat. There are tears in her eyes, and she appears to be both relieved and glad to see us. To be hugged by an archangel like a dear friend stays in memory like a bright star that will always be there. Inside the retreat, we follow Mary along a wide, jeweled hallway with a high ceiling, and the walls themselves radiate emerald, blue, and white light. We are in the company of an archangel of great grace and majesty. She's also an ascended master and the best of moms. Imagine bringing up Jesus as a baby, an amazingly bright boy talking with a learned man in the temple at age 12, then gone on to study in India and Tibet in his teens and 20s, back at age 30 and on through the wedding at Cana, the healing and abundance miracles, the mysteries of the transfiguration, the crucifixion and resurrection, all planned for the public record and God's timeless purposes. Then, out of the public eye, continuing on in the role of group mom to lead the apostles to Egypt, Britain, and France. Mother Mary has seen it all over eons, and yet her beautiful face is serene and calm, about ready to sit down with us. First, though, our gracious host pauses in an archway leading to an open courtyard. It's dawn here. The sunlight is filtering in through the leaves in the trees around the courtyard, and there are several musicians and a choir practicing. We stand with her for a few moments to listen. Closer so you can hear. As we continue our walk, an angel sister mentions to us that the words of the song come from one of the poets from our world, Thomas More, now an ascended master. We know him now, of course, as El Moria. Mother Mary turns around and smiles as she shows us another garden courtyard. She waves us in under a sunlit canopy of fragrant cherry and orange blossoms. Or to remember this walk with her tomorrow in our waking mind. We notice the uplifting effect of floral fragrances as we walk across glowing flagstones lit from within, through the gardens, to a circle of seats next to this trickling crystal fountain. Mother Mary asks us to be seated, and as soon as we're ready, begins to confide in us conversationally as if we're her family, stalwart, mature family. In a few minutes, she says, Archangel Raphael will take us as a group to the Great Hall of Images, and on later visits, some of us will focus on the art and science of divine healing. That, she explains, has to do with restoring essential faculties of the soul and the sacred heart that have been lost through trauma, lack of use, or both. Some of us will begin to study the divine beauty and visionary purpose of music. Some of us will see new scientific inventions yet to be released in our world, held back from the profane according to God's timing. And some will learn the precision of absolute truth for careful release in a world accustomed only to relative truth. But for now, she explains, our starting point is to focus on the basics of maintaining the rhythm of contact through daily prayer. And she says it again, the rhythm of contact between the density of our world and her willingness, along with all of heaven, to convey the engrafted word to us through the Holy Spirit. Our desire to find sanctuary in prayer is always opposed by the plodding heaviness of our world. Importing the light of heaven at least once every 24 hours is something we have to want more than succumbing to the density. This, she says, is the process of restoring and expanding the lost soul faculties. We are sons and daughters of God. We have to stretch upward in hope, knowing there will be a cascade of etheric light in response once a day, at least. This, she says, continues to be possible through the figure eight flow of prayer and invocation, which we initiate out of enlightened self-interest and adoration. Apparently, we're not fully grasping the mystical term, figure eight flow. So Mother Mary smiles and then begins to expand on it. While she speaks, the sunlight gets brighter through the leaves overhead. She says, do you not understand that there is more to the science of invocation than a vain repetition of words? Our words are the words of God. They are a chalice of light. Into this chalice of our words, you pour your heart's energy. And thus, there is a meeting of the energies of heaven and earth. As above, so below, at the level of the Christ. And by your participation in this ritual, you are also raised to that level. And in the level of the Christ consciousness, you become the focal point for the great flow of cosmic abundance to all life and all evolutions upon the planetary body. Do you not understand, precious hearts, that when you neglect your ritual of meditation and prayer, of invocation and supplication, there is a hole in the great filigree lacy pattern of the Antikorana, the worldwide network of light. It is like a dropped stitch in your crocheting. When you omit the ritual, the repetition of the cycle is not complete, and so the anchoring of the focus that is intended is weakened. The structure is weakened. Thus you'll understand, in the dawn of the Aquarian Age, how mankind will solidify and make permanent all of their endeavors through the ritual of the divine art and the divine science, through the power of the spoken word, which you learn in the Ascended Master's teachings. When mankind learn the action of rest in the flow of light through the throat chakra, through the heart, through the head, and through hand, then they will experience the manifestation of the permanency that comes through the fire of the Holy Spirit. Some of you have prayed to me for the healing of certain conditions. As others among mankind visit the shrines dedicated to the Divine Mother at Guadalupe, the physical Fatima and Lourdes, so you have come here seeking the assistance of my flame. I place my flame now upon your heart, merging the fires of my devotion to truth with the fires of your threefold flame to give you the impetus of the divine healing. In your patience, possess ye your souls. Precious hearts, do you not understand that there be some forms of illness that are for the glory of God, for the working out of past cycles of sin and imperfection? And if these cycles were to be abruptly cut off by the action of the healing ray, it would not be an act of mercy, but an act of deprivation, for you would be deprived of the opportunity for atonement and the even greater opportunity of bearing the sins of the world. Do you understand the mystery of the Christ? Christ Jesus, when it is spoken, he died for our sins. It means he allowed the human consciousness with all of its ramifications to die upon the cross of spirit and matter. The awareness of self as the human ego was sacrificed by Jesus gladly and joyously in order that he might bear the total planetary weight of world karma, and in bearing that karma for each one, provide the opportunity for souls evolving in the womb of time and space to have a greater lightness about them, less burden, less pain, less travail, that they might pursue the Holy Grail, that they might pursue the overcoming of the Christ, that might begin to balance their karma, free of the enormous weight of that karma. Do you understand then that in each century, as others rise to the position of Christhood, those who desire to render a more than ordinary service to mankind may also be given the opportunity to bear the sins of the world? This is done as each one passes the test of the ten, the test of selflessness and surrender in Christ, for free of the skin of mortal consciousness, shedding that skin, standing in the position of Christ, you are able to bear a more than ordinary weight of world karma. Some of you who have given invocations and decrees for many years are bearing, even in this very hour, a greater amount of density and substance of the world than you would even imagine. But by your faithfulness to the ritual of decrees, we are able to gauge from heavenly octaves what you will be able to bear, what you will be able to transmute of the burden of the world, that it might become light, that you might affirm with Jesus, my burden is light. We do not assign to life streams who do not have the constancy of the emerald ray or of the all-seeing eye a more than ordinary burden. For those who decree one day and another day and then wait a week to decree would be completely overcome to the point of insanity in their outer consciousness. If they were to hold the balance of planetary momentums of sin, we will not place that weight upon those who are unstable or undetermined in their invocations. But when we see that week after week, day after day, the sacred ritual is fulfilled, and that the devotee will come before his or her altar, however humble, to make intercession through the Holy Rosary, through decrees, through prayer, then we know that we may place upon the shoulders, the broad shoulders of that one, broadened by a sense of cosmic responsibility, the weight of the little children suffering in the ghettos and slums of the world, of the prisoners of war being tortured, of the underground Christians who are giving their lives so that they might be counted among the Christians, of those who are standing up for truth and for God, of those life streams who are prominent in the world in government and religion, in politics and economics, who have not the knowledge of the law, but have the great courage of their convictions. These need the prayers of the saints. These need your love. I could tell you of instance after instance where those of you here have been given the burden to carry for a world leader, a great figure who is holding the light for the brotherhood on the world scene. And in the quietness and humbleness of your abode and your service, as you have invoked the violet flame, as you've invoked the circle and sword of blue flame. You have carried the weight day after day for these individuals who are walking on the front lines of the battle and who do not have either the time or the inclination to pray, and yet are held in my heart, in the heart of God, as noble souls who work the works of Christ on earth. You see, allegiance to Christ only begins with an affirmation, but then it must be continued through works. Many who have the works of Christ know not the Christ. We do not condemn them because they do not say exactly the form of prayer or commitment that is taught in the churches. For churches are built to be an assist to man, not a detriment to his walk on the pathway home. And thus, the kingdom of heaven is indeed peopled with virtuous men and women from all walks of life. Hierarchy needs to have the knowledge that mankind are constant and dependable in their religious service. Thus, we appeal to you who have been given a more than ordinary understanding of cosmic law to be the handmaid and the servant of the Lord in this hour, and in so doing to fulfill the role of Christ as minister, as servant of all. He who would be great among you, let him be the servant of all, the servant of the Christ in all. This is the pathway of enlightenment, of self-perfectionment, and of the miraculous manifestation of the flow of healing that will make you indeed healers of men in the highest sense of the word. I am and I remain your cosmic mother. Call to me at any hour of the day or night, and I will stand by your side. For I am able, as is every ascended being, to project the electronic presence of myself anywhere in time and space, over and over again, millions of times. For God is one in the infinitude of his expression. So we are one, and my presence will be near unto you. And in the hour when you develop the perfect sight of the all-seeing eye of God and the senses of the soul, you will be able to declare to all who ask you, what is your belief in the Virgin Mary? You will declare, I have both seen and heard the word of the Cosmic Virgin. So you will be blessed for your sight and hearing as you have made these senses instruments for the inculcation in all mankind of the virtues of the sacred word. I am within your heart the love of the mother, the compassion of the mother, the mercy of the mother for all mankind. And then Mother Mary rises as we do. She bows her head, honoring the Christ in us, and gestures for us to follow her along the sunlit, arched colonnade next to the courtyard. We enter a round atrium and can hear the sweet chirping of birds in a tree at its center. Mother Mary gathers us around her, glances at each of us, and although she doesn't speak, we hear an echo of her words, for all mankind. Graciously she bows and leaves us in the company of angel sisters who escort us up a broad stairway to the entrance of what they describe reverently as the Great Hall of Images. It feels regal, the grand luminous walls radiant with jewels, the elegance of our robed escorts, and the sense that for us, for those to whom much is given, much is expected. We look up in awe, still processing our understanding of the daily figure eight flow. There's also the realization that, as Mother Mary said, we will be introduced to Archangel Raphael. That is an archangel who stands in the presence of God, I am that I am, transcending matter and spirit and within all throughout cosmos. How do you prepare to meet a cosmic being even in your etheric body in heaven? The answer, of course, is that we just did. Mother Mary is a feminine archangel, or archia, and she made it easy. Archangels like Mother Mary and cosmic beings like Kuan Yin are fully aware of our current frame of reference and can easily adjust a portion of their cosmic presence to appear to us in the same etheric form as us. That's why we travel to heaven at night, so that we can meet them at a level that's comfortable and understandable for us. Because even etherically, we can only see so far at our current state of evolution. For perspective, imagine consciously sitting down for a courtyard chat with an archangel in your physical body and trying to focus your denser waking mind in the presence of so much celestial light. But here in heaven, while we're in our etheric body, it's much easier to concentrate on preparing to be introduced to Archangel Raphael. Some of us remember reading about him in the Old Testament, appearing physically to Tobit and his son Tobias in the form of a guide, as Brother Azarias, later revealing himself as the servant of God and man and saying, "I am Raphael, one of the seven holy angels which present the prayers of the saints and which go in and out before the glory of the Holy One." And so this is to let us know there's no need for idolatry, but to have instead a sense of brotherhood, even with an archangel. This becomes immediately apparent as Raphael greets us in a hallway as if we're old friends, from even further back in history than the Old Testament times of Tobit and Tobias. Raphael is the epitome of the divine masculine, heroic in stature, brotherly in nature, and makes us feel comfortable with every word he says. While some of us begin to recall moments of his intercession in a past physical life, Raphael steps straight into the role of friend and host and says, "I would like to take you now to what we call the Great Hall of Images. I would permit those of you who are able to see in this mighty hall the mirrors of divine perfection. Have you seen the beauty of Leonardo da Vinci's work? Have you seen the beauty of the mighty sculptors of the Renaissance? Have you seen upon this planet the beautiful radiance of an angel in sculpted marble? Let me ask that you come with me to a place where God is, where in the magnificent hall of images there are statues, so to speak, made of living fire spirit, beings so majestic as to set your hearts on fire, beings from whose images your soul was framed, beings of such images as by God were named cherubim celestial, seraphim, and of the holy order of angels, beings of light and celestial radiance, beings who are unaffrighted by the ideas of mortals, but are completely at home with God and with the powers of the great creative essences." We walk with Raphael, watching his every move, seeing the living fire personification of the image and likeness of God in the beauty and radiance of his aura, beyond anything we could imagine created in static marble in our octave. Like Mother Mary, though, we're seeing the practical, step-down etheric aspect of an archangel so we can understand and hear him. Within moments, we realize that Raphael's purpose on this walk is to have us focus on the celestial fire images of our origin. The timeless spirit of I am that I am manifest in front of us in living form as archetypal sons and daughters of God. We're speechless. They're not statues. It's like staring at the perfect version of ourselves and realizing the beautiful intent of the I within I am. This is I. This is what we once looked like before we took on negative karma in the physical octave. We're meant to return to this actual glory and expand from this. There's no accurate, timeless way to use the word glory in our world. Then Raphael explains that these focuses of original perfection are also here so that parents-to-be can be brought here in their etheric bodies to see them and to meditate on the perfection of the incoming soul or child in the womb, for the perfect functioning of the child's body temple and the flow of light in the chakras, the God-intended fullness of our spiritual anatomy. We linger in front of the perfect us and take in the concept of where we started in God's intent. Our comfortability with our world's density would have to change in us by free will before we could return to what Raphael describes as the purity of the Christed ones. He tells us that if this return by increments by the figure eight flow were impossible, we wouldn't be here. Then he says, at the nexus of the figure eight is the mediator, the Logos, the Christ who mediates between perfection and our imperfection. It's not a remote holy person up there. It's us, the original generous one we gradually come to identify with. And one day, as we see the needs of others and act, we come to realize, I am He. I am becoming more of what I am. Raphael smiles and waits as he sees us contemplating the gap between the worldly and the celestial versions of ourselves. Deep in thought, we look up and see that Mother Mary is standing with Raphael again in front of us. She asks us to link hands as she prays to our Father, the I who is the One, I am that I am. That for each of us, the path be gentle but constant, as we encounter opportunities, even in adversity, to patiently displace our human imperfections and replace them with soul perfection, one day, one moment at a time. And moments later, after the prayer, we're walking with Mother Mary along another colonnade in the sun, and again we hear singing. She waves us forward and asks us to listen in on angels in song in a chapel. Angels have choirs and musicians like we do. It's familiar. We know these words from our world. We can tell they're singing the rosary, but this is the rosary they sing in heaven. Come in and listen. We leave the chapel quietly, and outside in the sun, Mother Mary asks if we noticed that in heaven the angels don't describe us as sinners. Their song was a form of prayer for us, always holding the Immaculate Concept for us. In the Rosary Chorus, they see us as sons and daughters of God, which seems much more fitting and forgiving for the potential heirs of cosmos. She points out in Heaven's Rosary, the angels are asking on our behalf, requesting divine assistance, now and at the hour of our victory over sin, disease, and death, the last enemy. So there's a mindset in heaven that we should be expecting victory over the record of our past mistakes. The institutional mindset on earth is that we're miserable sinners, so we're informed. And that gets old. Heaven's infinite view is that we are capable of transmuting God's energy that's still trapped in our soul's past mistakes. Transmutation means changing something ordinary into a higher, more beautiful form. Mother Mary suggests we adopt heaven's more noble view of ourselves on earth, that by the use of visualized violet flame in the figure eight flow of daily prayer, we are capable of victory. Thinking about that ever-present frontier of capability, we continue on our walk along the colonnade toward the gardens, and then, above us, we see our escort angels. In that moment, when we realize it's time to go back to work in the morning, it suddenly becomes clear that the amazing things we've just seen and learned are exactly what you would expect and want the sons and daughters of God to be taught. In the eyes of God's divine representatives, the archangels, we are not only worthy, we are ready to be immersed each day in the figure eight flow for all mankind. For those to whom much is given in heaven, much is expected on earth. Raphael stands behind Mary as she invites us back and reminds us that they are always our servants and teachers and godparents. She challenges us to prove we understand their perpetual care for us by doing our part in sustaining the daily imported flow of God's Holy Spirit through prayer. She says, "When you pray to our Father in heaven, say, Beloved Heavenly Father, I commend my spirit unto thee, and ask that as thy flame is one with my flame, the union of these two flames shall pulsate to effect in my world the continuous alertness and attunement which I need with thy holy presence, with the Holy Spirit, and with the World Mother. Amen." The daily flow of love from heaven to earth and back to heaven again, she explains, helps sustain the long-term victory process, the expectation that no matter how tedious, how difficult our days might seem when we wake up to another commute to work, we are winning our way back to heaven permanently just by noticing and appreciating our victories in everything we do. Attunement before every kind word we say, as if God in us is speaking to family. Anyone we meet in our day at work might also be visiting the retreats and universities of the Spirit at night. Expect to be keeping company each day with night school students of the Ascended Masters and the Archangels, all of us quietly holding this private thought. Victory. We win the lifelong process of the return to God's original intent by one kind choice at a time. As we reach for our escort angel's hand, it's almost overwhelming to realize how generous and forgiving God the Father is. Holiness personified in His archangels, in His sons and daughters who have graduated to heaven ahead of us. If only people on earth were this generous and forgiving. Oh wait, that would be us. We have to set God's standard by radiating the daily figure eight flow we receive generously to those who God puts in front of us, because we are that I who is beyond time. I am that I am. Much is expected of us on earth before we're trusted to be godparents ourselves of cosmos. Thank you for touring this beautiful part of heaven with me, realizing our freedom to study and to be approved for the responsibilities that sons and daughters of God were created for. You can read more about Mother Mary, Archangel Raphael, and all the archangels in the Masters and Their Retreats, available on Amazon or AscendedMastersSpiritualRetreats.com. As it gradually dawns on us what it means to take dominion over the earth, we finally understand that we have the capacity to import the light of heaven daily for those who dearly need it, even if they can't yet understand it. This generosity is being a brother, being a sister of mankind. In the joy of that freedom to be at last who we are meant to be, I'll say, always victory.